ARPA for.
For some superficial reason, we are postponing the deacons' meeting for today. I'm just kidding. I'm so amenable anymore. It's pathetic. And you've got a coffee place back there, even. We'll call it the fellowship hall. I'm just trying to have some fun. Trying to see if you people still have a sense of humor. There's a lot of things to laugh about. A lot of things to cry about, too. So, anyway, doctrine of surpassing grace. This is to alert believers to its importance, its permanency, and it is, according to statements in the Bible, beyond anything you, with the best possible imagination, and associate with the most elite people that possible if you could. It's bigger than this. It's way bigger. So be in fellowship. Stay in fellowship. We all don't do it enough, I'm sure. But things you are doing that you're supposed to be doing, do it as unto the Lord, and you can't do it as unto the Lord if you're out of fellowship with the Lord. And so definition and considerations. I wonder if you could go find a fundamentalist church close here that would explain this to you. The importance of it and how you get it. And all the different ways you can accumulate your eternal rewards account. Because you can't do it after you're out of here. There's no makeup test. There's no chance up there to do it, because that wouldn't even be fair, because you'd be in fellowship all the time and it would be no contest. We have to do it under duress. Not everything we do is under duress. Some things we do, we enjoy doing. Might as well do them in fellowship. I enjoyed making spaghetti carbona last night. I did. I enjoyed it. I try to stay in fellowship. I think that further blesses the effort. It's just my opinion. Surpassing grace. Abbreviated SG3, because as you know, the plan of God is divided into three parts for the individual. The point of salvation, phase one. Phase two, your time on earth. Phase three, the afterlife, and all that involves, and all the stages involved in that. I can't even comprehend eternity. What we do every day. I mean, I can't worry about it. And it's forever. And what kind of memories do you have? You remember 10 million years ago when we were... What kind of a brain can store all that information? We refer to the past. Remember back in the day when we had blah, blah, yeah, yeah, yeah. And some of us have better memories than others, and some of us remember things others don't, and all the rest. Some people remember too much. It's almost a curse. I have a photographic memory. Remembering all this, so it can torment you down the road if you let it. Surpassing grace is the special blessings and rewards for the believer in phase three, which are above and beyond the normal blessings in phase three, to be explained. The nomenclature for SG3 is taken from Ephesians 2:17, that in the ages to come, did you know we will mark history just like we do today, in the ages to come, based on, of all things, the fruit being continually produced on the trees that line the river out of the New Jerusalem. Really? Yeah. And it'll be logged. So I don't care how many billion, trillion years down the pipe you are, you'll have a sense of movement and advancement. the nomenclature that in the ages to come, the millennium and the eternal the period of time from the rapture to the second, from the rapture to the end of the Gog and Magog, the tag on that's after the millennium, technically, that whole period is called Day of the Lord. And eternity is called Day of God. After Christ has brought everything into subjugation to himself, he'll turn the kingdom over to his Father. He's the Father's agent. It's all a formal deal. And what we're talking about the Father, the figure on the throne, which is mystifies me till yet. There is a human-like figure sitting on the throne. I don't know if you ever thought about it that much. Called God the Father. And of course, it doesn't violate the doctrine of omnipresence. Because heaven cannot contain, there's verses that it all establishes omnipresence. So that's obvious. But those two figures, I know I'm probably saying the blatantly obvious, they're localized. Jesus' humanity can only be in one place at one time, not four places. Or his deity is everywhere. And that, for me, doctrinally, is the biggest mystery of all. To try to even begin to wrap your head around. Because always with a human, no matter how bright, brilliant, and all the talents that they've got, and they have a super brain and everything, they still can only, as a human, process and do so much at once. So I reach, like a lot of things, I reach an end deal here. I go, wow. That in the he might show the surpassing riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Now, even the failed Christian. I heard a song. I am a failed Christian. Some British singer. Got his name offhand. I'm a failed Christian. It was funny in a way. I mean, he's just, you know, he does the wrong things. And of course, it's silly. We know what a person needs to do. But even a failed Christian, and a failed Christian is anyone. Let's take the extreme. No SG3. Boom. Saved so as by fire. Has nothing to show for it but a resurrection body. Is there an extreme person like that? Perhaps. More than we know. So they don't produce, or they have minimal SG3. They're still going to have a very good time. Forever. No, they're not going to walk around and slap themselves. What a dummy I was. Look what that guy's got. I knew him and so forth. I was his next door neighbor. And I never even walked across the street to check his church out. And look at him. And the whole system of importance is turned on its head. A complete inversion. All the VIPs, all the important people, they're forgotten. They are forgotten. No one will walk around in eternity and talk about the best running back in human history. It isn't going to be a discussion. Now, in my lifetime, when boxing used to be great, it probably never was a good thing, but when boxing was great, you know, Frazier and Ollie. Those were really spectacles. We don't even see that anymore, but that's neither here nor there. It isn't important. These people won't be important. If any of them that are believers, obviously, they'll be there. They spent their life being a celebrity, excelling, getting notoriety, money, all the things that come with it, only to get to the Bema seat and have nothing to show for it but their resurrection body. Well, thank God for that. I'm going to reunite with a bunch of friends I used to have that they didn't have an ear for doctrine. And these were good friends. Real good friends. But we went two different ways when I got on doctrine. And I introduced them all to it. Some stuck with it for a little bit. And then they crashed. And mainly my friends, a lot, were pastor-teacher types. Aspiring to, anyway. And we had great times. We had great fellowship. Some of them that got on to doctrine. We really did. I mean, I remember those times. And then they crashed. They took themselves out of the race. The normal blessings of heaven include a resurrection body like Christ. There's your verse, 1 John 3:2. We don't know what we will be like, but we do know one thing. We'll have a body just like His. It'll have the same dynamic. Minus an old sin nature, no spot or wrinkle. I could add to that. See, the bride of Christ resurrected will have no spot or wrinkle. This is a perfect. She doesn't have some disfiguring spot or she doesn't have, you know, crow's feet. She has no wrinkles, no cellulite, nothing, none of it. Okay, she's perfect. So that means two things to me. The spot I take as she's dressed in white. There's nothing, and that refers to. Yeah, you can have a beauty mark and all that business, but I think it might refer to her attire. And she has no wrinkle. She has no. What's wrinkle? Why do we have wrinkles? Well, technically, it's because your body isn't producing collagen like it once did. And if it did, they all leave you. And all the sagging skin and everything. If you could trigger that mechanism. Because they're doing a lot of research. It's fascinating. And if your body was producing this collagen like it did in your 20s, then it starts tapering off like a lot of stuff. And you start getting wrinkles. That's the aging gene. And all the complicated, and it's very, the aging gene is complicated. There's a lot involved here going on. If they could shut all that off or put something in you to redo it, and I hear some interesting stories, I don't know about it. You know, blood transfusions from young people. Ooh, okay. All kinds of things people are trying to do. Stem cell stuff. We won't even be talking about getting old. It'll be a lost memory. It'll be in the memory hole, forgotten. And sin? We can't go anywhere without seeing it, observing it in ourselves and others. And those sinful desires and various kinds of things, they're gone. In the meantime, we're saddled with it. And God knows that. So He deals with us according to that. It isn't always, well, how could you do that? Paul uses himself as an example. And we would put him up there at the very top of the elite believers. There's nothing good dwells in me. Oh, wretched man that I am. This is long into his career. He's fighting and struggling. And then the inner conflict verses. You might not do like you want to do. The spirit wages war against the soul. The spirit and the flesh are at odds, trying to bring the soul into its sphere. So maybe this will help you live a little bit better with yourself under in your own skin. That's just the way it is. It's not an advocacy for sin so that grace may abound. It's not an advocacy of that. It's just a statement of fact. Why is she always that way? Blah, blah, blah. She has a sin nature. Why are you always that way? You know, one person's dirt's not another person's dirt. And it's hard for us to do that because certain things are so detestable to you, yet other things you embrace fully that should probably be close to equally detestable. It's just what we have to deal with. But thank God we have a way to deal with it. We have a way to break free from it in any given moment, in any sort of point in our life, and get our head back right and get back in fellowship and do what we're supposed to do. And it's a quick process called rebound. That's all it is to it. But your STA doesn't want you to rebound. Your STA wants to tell you it doesn't work. Or just be pig-headed. There's a total absence of all the negatives, pain, crying, sorrow, tears, death, blah, blah, Revelation 21:4. I know that that's dealing in a context with these people that come out of the millennium. But they get the same thing, except they don't get a resurrection body like Christ. You can pick up that material on the eternal state, for which I got some private flack for. But I don't care. Send me a little dirty email. I explained it, the logic of it. There will be people in the eternal state in their natural bodies without a sin nature. Does this answer all the questions? Of course it doesn't answer all the questions. Some things are hidden from us. Well, if they just keep reproducing, can you imagine in a million years how many people there'd be? Nobody's dying, nobody's getting old? Jack, that doesn't serve to debunk this. It just puts up a question mark. It's all going to be different. It's for these people, the millennial saints, the people who come to salvation in the millennium, which there'll be a bunch of them, they will be taken onto the new earth and cleansed of two things, death gene and the old sin nature. They can't go in the new Jerusalem. What we have in the book of Revelation, of the kings of the earth are bringing their glory into this habitat for the royal family and Israel. Resurrected. Old Testament saints resurrected. It would include those before Israel too. Like, you know, Noah and all those. These people bring their glory in there. They can't get in there even with a sin nature. And we don't want to spend eternity with a bunch of people with sin natures. 1,000 years will be enough. Because you're going to see bad things in the millennium you aren't going to like. Imagine an angel observing humanity, and they've seen it over and over and over. Your guardian angel has watched you screw up so many times. He says, he's a professional. He's a professional, and he has a job. And he doesn't go to God and say, could I get reassigned? I'm tired of that dummy. But he's probably put up with a bunch of them all the way down the line because he's on the docket. He's dead. You go serve this guy. So we're going to see things we don't like. We have a righteous nature. But we're also going to be compassionate and recognize that was us back in the day. But the person's a believer and the person seems to be positive. But they screw up from time to time. Or a lot of times. So we'll have to see bad stuff in the millennium. And those of you at the top of the food chain, crown bearers, you're going to be assigned to take out some people. If I read Revelation right, you say, I can't kill anybody. You'll be able to then. You'll be able to pull the trigger so fast it won't be funny. Or whatever you're supposed to do. And anyone who is convicted of a capital offense crime in the millennium will get a fair trial and hearing, and evidence will have to be presented. It's not a crazy dictatorship. Prove your innocence type mentality. The person charged with something does not have to prove their innocence. They have to prove their guilt. Because sometimes they don't even have the resources. See, that's enlightened law. That's the way the Israel law runs, and that's the way ours is supposed to run. But we'll see the sin nature, and we'll see people act up, and then of course we'll see that final mess. That Gog and Magog revolution. We will see an earth where there is no Satan, no demons. We can't attribute anything to the devil then. The devil made me do it. Or I was under demonic influence. Because there's no demons. And there's nobody possessed. Because they're all in hell. Christ rules and they're not in present. And then the millennium ends and they're released. And they're not in a good mood. And they go about doing the same thing. But I understand it. What choice they have? They have no salvation in front of them. All they can go out there and try to do is deceive as many people as they can and convince them that this rule of Christ thing can be overthrown. Oh, here we go again. And what kind of fancy stuff will they crank out? And it'll take years to get this embedded in people. So they get their nerve up to actually march against the earthly Jerusalem. Only to be annihilated with fire out of the sky. Boom! They're turned to ashes. And they're in hell a few minutes, and then they're brought before the white throne judgment, resurrected. Just about a touch out. That's why I've always said, every unbeliever will spend some time in hell. some thousands of years, some only a few minutes. If the white throne judgment follows on the heels of the Gog and Magog as quickly as I suspect it will, there won't be some delay. We won't be in limbo floating around. That'll occur out there. Whoa. You know, things like this ought to sober people up. This other, I can't use the word. This other stuff, starts with an S. This other stuff doesn't matter. It's vanity and chasing after the wind. All the stupid billionaires. We got another billionaire, the richest man on earth, that put this stuff out. And I always say, not for long. Not for long. I hope he finds Christ if he hasn't already. Because you cannot buy salvation, buddy. And God isn't impressed with a face. Some believers will not receive SG3, but only the normal blessings of heaven. If any man's work is burned up, the judgment seat of Christ, and how that is displayed with so many of us, millions and millions and millions of church age saints, through these centuries, all the way down to the rapture. Imagine, every one of them will have their works put out in front of them. All their deeds, not their sins, not they lied on this occasion. That would never be rewardable under any conditions. But all their works will be put before them. Works also show up at the last judgment with unbelievers. How can you display this to so many people? Well, with God, nothing's impossible. We just have to wait and see. We know normal award ceremonies take time, and then it's this person and this person and this person. This is going to have to happen real quick. But it's going to be real dramatic. How does everybody give an account? I don't know the mechanics of that. I just know that we will, and I know that all of our works will be laid out there. And in one category is works that will burn up. Something. How do you show you did an act of kindness towards someone? You helped someone in need. Encouraged a believer. You did it in fellowship, then this falls over into this category. This is what is ridiculed. Oh, it's pie in the sky. You bet it's pie in the sky, and it's good pie. It's gold, silver, and precious stones. That turns people on that are normal. Now, if you're not normal, then those things don't even bother you. Gold, silver, and precious stones. That's the divine good production. Over here is the human good that we all have so much of. But we'll have something to counterbalance it with our SG3. So we come walking away from there, hopefully, with quite a stash. And I don't know in what form it takes. This is impossible. It's like trying to describe all the dynamics of the resurrection body. You quickly reach a wall in your mind. But everything we believe, including your salvation, is done by faith. You believe God exists? No, none of us have seen Him. We see what we call His handiwork, and that is a reflection of a divine designer, designer universe, designer world. That ought to scream to everybody that's normal that this didn't happen by accident. I don't care what Jesuit came along and put up all this math. It's elaborate as hell. It's designed to impress. Oh, God, he's got. I'm sure he's brainy, but he's corrupt. And he came up with all this. This is how this works. So the universe is getting bigger all the time, and it started out here. Oh, come on. Leave me alone. This is just a crock. All of it. Doesn't it make more sense that there is a God who can bring into existence things that are non-existent in any form and in any quantity that he wants to at any time? Then he isn't God. He's dependent on something else. The world right down to the cellular level, it might be something lower than that, but I'll leave it there. is so complex, it is mind-boggling that anyone would believe that this happened by accident. And libraries and schools are filled with this evolution crap. And people are dead set on it. Just like, how can you believe that? How can you believe that? It's not anything like that in the Bible. And they believe it anyway. Because they do not want God in their thinking. That's the bottom line. They have motivational viscosity. I resurrected that one from the past. The unwillingness to change one's mind when the facts stack up against them. That's called, there's a motivation involved. Pride. I don't want to be ridiculed. God forbid that you be ridiculed. What are they going to think of me down there if they find out I believe? Coward. Coward. And you're not a good witness. We're to give an answer to anyone that might ask us. We don't go around trying to force it on people. Sometimes I'm tempted to drop a bomb on people every once in a while. It's just me. Watch their eyes go like that. They live right here in the same world I live in. Observe the same things I observe. Have the same capacities to reason and be rational. And they will buy a lie in a minute if it keeps them from having to commit to God. Even on a basic level, He exists. And that if He exists, He must be something and have a plan. Nobody lives without a plan. Good one or a bad one. But they believe this stuff. They promote this stuff at the kindergarten level. All the way up. I'm sure these biologists know a ton about how this thing operates. But that's through observation and repeated observation. But then they go off dribbling off about how this animal came around 30 million years ago or some crap. They just kill the whole scene. Right there. Entertaining. Dealing with life forms. Very entertaining. But you can see them. You can look at them. You can study them. And learn about how they operate. But then they go off, spiel off all this, what I call modern mythology. The mechanistic universe. It could never come together. And some of them are smart enough to know this. In the guy's book, Darwin's Black Box, got the author's name. I might be in our library. He called it irreducible complexity. He nailed it. You can't take this organ in the body and reduce it down to this and expect the eye to see anything. You can't take one part out, have it half functional. It's crazy. So that's the crazy world we live in. And if so many millions of people bought into it, I got it in earth science. Oh, you can study a flower. That's great. It's all the different parts. Fine, cool. That's good information. But all this theoretical crap, it needs thrown out. This will be the subject of jokes and comedy stand-up stuff in the millennium. I am convinced it will be. These people have scoffed against God. It's time that they get their time. And they're going to be put to shame. Massive shame. He's going to bring them all down. And the wisdom of the wise is going to be exposed for what it is. Concocted lies to drive the human race down the path of deception and play the satanic game. That's the world you and I were born into. It's the way it is. How do you overcome it? Mind of Christ in the soul. Overcome this mess. Jeff said to his junior high teacher, where they had that little thing with the apes working up the ladder, it's just pictures, people. They don't have photos of these. All the students were out of the classroom. He points at the teacher and says, do you believe that? She had this sheepish look. But you're teaching it. Wonderful. Enjoy your money. You can't tell the truth in those environments. You're fired. You could in a Christian school, presumably. But you can't there. You can't even really question it. Put before the students the two options. Let them debate it and look at it. Don't ridicule one and say, well, that's just religion and faith and we don't deal with that. We deal with science. Yeah, right. Falsely so-called. Put forth by these clowns whose names are attached to it. Darwin. Oh, he really proved evolution, didn't he? But he was... And they had one guy that promoted his stuff in all the universities. Who's that guy? Huxley. Huxley was called his bulldog. Because he went in and these administrations and these places and convinced them of this evolution mess. Where the Christian churches were basically going with Genesis and this is the way we go. But we can't have that. No. We got to make the Bible look stupid. And science is God is supreme. That's the times we live in. And we just walked into it. Or we can walk out. I'm walking out. Each believer, if any man's work is burned up, he shall suffer loss. Loss of what? Reward. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as through fire. So I'm looking at this as a fire event. We're going to be, our bodies, resurrection bodies, we're going to be like Daniel, like the three Hebrew youths in the fiery furnace. That's how I see it. A real event. And it won't be that high up compared to when you're talking height. Meet him in the air. I think this thing is going to flash all around the world. I can only imagine the psychological effect on those that are left behind. May they find the truth after that. What they're going to see. And what this rapture is going to do. What do you think? How many programs are going to... What's this done to the economy? And we're missing a bunch of athletes on these teams. And we got problems all over the place. We got missing body parts. We got everything going on. The world will get a witness. They've been lying. They've been playing their game. They're going to get this shoved in their face like you can't believe. Like it or not. And that's just the start. So this thing's going to... I think this thing's going to flash. There's going to be a flash of... They'll subscribe it to aliens or whatever the idiots do. Yeah, it's aliens, all right. Alien to you. Some believers will not receive it. They'll save... So that established... That ought to end all discussion, but it doesn't, about bad believers, failed Christians, whatever you want to call them, that they're not saved or that they don't get raptured. They're saved so as through fire. They're standing there and they have no rewards. You know what I mean? Go to award ceremony, they have various things hanging out. Somebody gets a top award, someone gets this and this and this. Here's a guy who gets nothing beyond what he's already got, a resurrection body. Some synonyms for SG3, and one I have not put in here, and I'll let you go, so you can do your whatever you're doing today. There's one that's not on the list, and it should be. Win, as win a prize, win Christ, or if you like, gain Christ. Paul talks about I have not gained Christ. The scripture on that. So that's another one. We've already got Christ, right? But to gain Christ is to stand in that elite circle forever. The most coveted thing you can imagine. And here's the funny part. It's accessible to everybody who gets saved and will look at this doctrine seriously. Somebody's going to get it and come walking into Maranatha Church or one of our local churches where the truth is taught. They're going to walk in there on the last week of the last deal and be positive as they can be and get the darn. That boom. They won't have any other SG3 to show for it much. And then I got people. They're going to have piles of SG3. No crown. And they won't be happy for a minute. See you Tuesday. Thank you, Father, for the time together. May God, the Holy Spirit, enlighten us. In Christ's name, amen.